Howdy, mate. What's going on?
Yes. Well, nothing much is going on, so which is why I thought we'd talk about Freemasonry.
Okay. Yes. That's something actually John and I know a little bit about.
Well, then perhaps you need to share your experiences first, because I was actually intrigued. The only thing that... Well, two things triggered this in my mind. Firstly was a visit to an old people's village, which was previously the village, a Freemasonry village over in Hillsborough. Mm-hmm. But secondly, a program about young people having an intense interest in Freemasonry, which I found really surprising.
So a television program that you've recently watched?
I think it was. I can't remember the details now. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's prompted your recent interest in Freemasonry?
Yes, that's right. And yours?
We've actually got the Freemasons are doing a bit of work helping people out with scholarships to university.
Oh, of course, there's always been those are very good scholarships, the Freemason scholarships, yes.
So we actually went to a Masonic tavern and went to, Big Hungry and I went to an awards ceremony, which was filled with ritual and sort of, you know, like... I don't know, artifacts and like swords.
So it was
and
intriguing because it was so unlike what you'd been used to.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cool. It was, you know, it's kind of, you know, strange and interesting to see all this sort of stuff in action. But they were very open with us. You know, they said, you know, historically they have been shrouded in secrecy, but they are trying to open up some of their ways to the public, you know, and see the good they do in the community. So, Peter, we're curious to hear your take on this.
Yes. So, I mean, I think it is very true there's been a massive change of outlook of most Freemasons towards saying rather they're a secret society. They're now a society with a secret.
Mm.
And that means that, of course, there's still the, well, esoteric knowledge, which they would claim would trace them all the way back to Solomon's Temple and other sort of exotic pieces of lore which they claim to know. But
if you go right back, Peter, is it full tilt? Is it like does it get crazy? I'm sure. Surely most old.
Actually, the origins of the Freemasons are fairly well known. That they lie in a relationship, a lodge of practicing masons. So these were people who in the medieval period were the great builders,
right?
And were enormously energetic, and clearly there must have been some kind of community chest that supported the arrival of masons in a new town looking for work. And this was true of a lot of trades. They had a certain pub that would be designated the pub to which people would go who belonged to that trade.
Right.
And some of the historic names of hotels would give a clue as to which that hotel was. And in the hotel would be kept the community chest. And so the community chest would give visiting people of that profession maybe a week's enough money to survive for a week while they look for a job.
Well, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a great technique, really, and very practical. However, Freemasonry, it's the free bit that's interesting in the story, because what the free bit refers to is that people who were not practicing Masons wanted to become part of the secret that was the Masonic lodge, the Masonic connection. So this meant that the lodges, and we more or less have correct, you know, accurate dates of when this began to occur in Scotland as the first reported events where non-Masons, in fact gentlemen, began to enroll for the Freemasons in order to take advantage of the relationship that was shrouded in secrecy,
right,
which meant you could be friends across boundaries that would normally be very difficult to cross.
Yeah, it seemed like, here's my sort of take on the modern version anyway, when we got welcomed in there. it seemed like a club for dudes that don't play sport.
What an interesting description. There would be something in that.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no sport involved, but they like the...
Historically, Freemasons were generally merchants.
Yeah, it just seemed like...
Sport was largely paid by working class people. It would be logical enough, and they wouldn't be academic. You see, that was the other thing. So it would exclude people who had a university connection.
Yeah, well, I think what I noticed the most was the craving for procedure and just stuff like that. Like, they enjoy that, the side of things, which kind of makes every occasion a little bit more grand, you know what I mean?
When you've got, yes, like, indeed. So Freemasonry began to be a way to relate together. Mm. If you were a visiting merchant or businessman in a town,
yes,
and you came on and instantly had those contacts, which otherwise, for example, churches didn't do that so effectively,
right.
because they belong to one particular craft, and especially if a whole variety of trades were represented, it would be a very good way. And the secret handshake was all part of the acknowledging a relationship.
Right. The other interesting thing that kind of links it to that's the spirit, I guess, is it used to be, a Christian-based, you sort of had to believe in God, and now you actually just need to sort of believe in a God, so it doesn't have to be specific... This is what we were told by the actual men that we met at the Freemasons.
I think that's misleading, because the original vision that was quite distinctly planned out, because they were trying to get beyond Catholic, Protestant, and other distinctions.
Right.
And so, quite influenced by the early Enlightenment, they described God as the great architect of the universe. Mm. And in this description of God, you see there's no specific Christian references, and it would be a place where Jews as well could become part of the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was always bigger than any one religion.
You just have to believe in a God, apparently. This is what we were told.
And that's not unlike... The views of the when it really flourished in the early 18th century. Now, of course, it was at that point that the Catholic Church began saying it was absolutely improper for any Catholic ever to become a Freemason. Though, if you know Mozart's Magic Flute, well, you're probably not opera.
Because, I do. I know it. I know what you're talking about.
Well, then you know all the endless coded Masonic symbols in that delightful opera.
Yeah.
Now, the heart, though, of Freemasonry, for those who were into it, I mean, for a lot of people, I think, you simply learned the secret passwords, which got you admitted. And it didn't necessarily mean a great deal. But there were always those who lapped up the incredibly exotic mythology, if you like, of Freemasonry. Mm. So the mythology was all about, the beginnings of the world and the building of Solomon's Temple and the supposed notion that the Masons had passed down secret knowledge over thousands of years, that by belonging to Freemasonry, you were admitted into all of this knowledge, which was always surrounded by a series of passwords. It was on pain of death that you revealed this to anybody outside. Now, I mean, I at one point had nothing to do in the British Museum, and so I went researching on what was the secret knowledge. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's a bit boring, really.
With your recent hanging up the professor hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you thinking about sort of slipping into Freemasonry? Is this where this has come from? Or?
No, not at all.
Just checking in, mate.
I've seen, for example, funny accounts of where young people, say perhaps a grandfather has died and they've been cleaning out the house and come across the Masonic robes have thought these slightly mad. Because they're all symbols where the building trade has been used as a metaphor.
Yes.
For the deepest nature of the world and things like this.
It's interesting that you say that about people finding their robes and that, because we actually, one of the recipients that we went and had their, when we went to the dinner there and they got their sort of kudos, they applied for the grant because they found some stuff of their parents who it was associated with.
Really?
So it's really interesting, isn't it?
I think the Freemasons scholarships are available to people with no real connection.
100%. That just kind of opened her eyes up and sort of look into it, you know. Like, the recipients are, like, fair to say, outstanding students. Like, they're like A-plus students.
Yeah, 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 of course.
They don't muck around with who they're giving the old coin to, that's for sure.
Mm. So, I mean, the thing to me that is kind of interesting about this, is this religious or what? And in one sense, it's not religious.
Not really.
You know, it's trying to evade religious decisions and to create a space where, you know, you no matter what your religion, you can join in the conviviality. It's sort of a drinking club, really.
You do have to kind of admit the humbleness of there being a God in some form.
Oh yes.
Which is interesting, but, you know, like, yes, where there is a ceiling in that sense. That.
But the other side is this, that the language that it talks, for example, I mean, you know, the process of being admitted to the lodge, at least in the 18th century versions that I read up on, you come into a darkened room and you're threatened with a sword at the knife point.
You've walked the line.
And at that point, you make your pledge and you're given the magic word, which will be your admission into the secret lore. And then you proceed upwards to further, to more exotic degrees. And some versions, there's quite a lot of versions of Freemasonry. The English ones typically are the most boring, and the French loved the fabulous detail and the romance of it, and grew ever more exotic in their knowledge. The tremendous decline that's seen in the Freemasonry was, I think, largely that people were bored with the notion of secret knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that kind of ritual of the discovery in the dark, of the threat, and making the pledge, that is, it certainly is ritual anyway. And I think ritual's what people kind of are hankering for these days.
Sometimes crave, yeah.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Well, that comes a lot with sports clubs, you know, so that's sort of where I'm at. I think a lot of them, just like the rituals of doing, you know, getting together, and like there's a camaraderie there, and, you know, it's all pretty... it's kind of like human nature to want those things, I think.
I think it is, and yet, you know, our society, apart from Anzac Day, we've got very few rituals left.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, interesting.
Very much so.
All right, Peter. That is particularly interesting for us, I guess, because it is something that we are...
We've been inside.
We'll wait to
hear your reports of the next exciting adventures.
They're all right.
All right, Peter. Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.